Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Holy Spirit, I pray, teach us your scripture. I pray, Father, carry your word to our spirits. Open our spiritual ears and our eyes. And Father, may the word have an impact upon us, O God. May you be loaded with power, O Father. And I pray, Father, end of this meeting, you pray you confirm your word with signs following. I pray for angelic hosts to visit us tonight. May they be a part of this service. O God, I give you praise, I give you glory. Have mercy on us. We wash ourselves in your blood and we come before you to the throne of grace to obtain help in the time of our need, O Father. I release these members to you as a vessel, O God. Let your glory shine forth. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You want to put your hands together for Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. I said for Jesus. At the back. For Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. Today is day two of our convention. Hallelujah. And I'm very excited to be here. I want to continue with lessons from Osama 2. Hallelujah. Lessons from Osama. Tonight I wish to share two lessons from Osama. Amen. I said the general title of my messages is Lessons from Osama. And yesterday, I taught you one lesson. Hallelujah. And I said that basically, the evil that's going to come, we need endurance. We need to be able to be strong, to stand the things that are going to come upon this earth. And I said that the source of strength is knowing God. And Daniel 11:32 says that the people that do know their God, they will be strong and they shall do exploits. They shall do wonderful things. And I said, basically, these are three prophetic messages. Somebody said, what is a prophetic message? A prophetic message or prophetic service is any message that you need spiritual gifts to be able to preach. Amen. You need prophetic gifts to be able to preach them. So, as I shared with you that vision, hallelujah, I was using prophetic gifts to tell you that vision. And also prophetic understanding to explain the vision. Interpretation of dreams and the word of wisdom and knowledge and everything to explain and to preach the word. So that is it. Like Peter, when he was about to send the gospel to the Gentiles, he saw a big sheet where there were all kinds of animals, and God told him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He said, "I've not eaten anything that's common or unclean." But through that vision, God gave him a message to the Gentiles. That was a prophetic message which he delivered to the people. Hallelujah. So tonight and yesterday, I delivered a prophetic message to you. And tonight, I want to continue and deliver two other lessons from Osama. And I don't want you to be asleep, I want you to be alert. Hallelujah. If you sleep, it means the devil is making you sleep. Ask somebody, is the devil going to make you sleep tonight? Tell the person, don't let Satan borrow your eyes. Amen. Today, I'll be preaching on as it was in the days of Noah. I said the general theme is lessons from Osama. But the title of today's message is As It Was in the Days of Noah. I want to turn our Bible to the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus was talking about the coming of the Lord and certain things that were going to happen prior to his coming or before he comes. And he began to speak about certain signs that you must look for before he comes. So in Luke 17:26, this is what he has to say. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. 27. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage. Until the same day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. The next verse. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted. They builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. 30, he says, thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Amen.
Here Jesus makes a very important statement. Some people asked him, they said that, what signs should we look for when you are coming? And Jesus says that he uses three words. He says us. He says likewise. And he says thus. Now when you read the word us, it means that you are comparing two things which look alike. If you went to a good school like my school in Franciscan, we learned something called similes. Your pastor was in that school too. And they say us and like, they are similes. These are things that look alike. This boy is the same as the other boy. Or this car is just like my car. You compare things that look alike. That also is another word, which means that just like it, or it will be just like this. Hallelujah. So Jesus says that when he's about to come, there are going to be certain features or certain things on the earth which will just be like the time when Noah and Lot were alive. It will just be like that. As, likewise, and that. And then he states basically three symptoms or three signs that you must look for. The first one, he says that people will live for pleasure. Amen. So you realize that he said they were drinking. They were eating. After the eating and drinking is constant. They ate, they drank. Noah's time, Lot's time, they ate, they drank. They married wife, they were given in marriage. It was a time of great pleasure. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said that when the time is going to come, pleasure and enjoyment is going to take the forefront of life. He says that people are going to drink a lot of alomo bitters. That should be nyamo. Why? There's going to be a lot of alombo bitters. Amen. He said that there's going to be a lot of partying and a lot of discos and a lot of dancing and a lot of drinking. The focus of the world is going to shift to that area. There's going to be a lot of music and people are going to be interested in partying. So you realize that tourism is not the number three earner in Ghana. That tells you that pleasure is moving higher and higher. And I predict that in a few years' time, after some years, probably 10 years, it will move to number one. It's going to be number one foreign exchange earner. And most of the time, when you trace how people spend, you are able to trace where their heart is. For the Bible says that where your treasure is, there your heart is also, in Matthew 6:19. So when you put a man's treasure, is a sign of where his heart is. So as people are spending more on tourism and it's moved from a very low state to a high state, it tells you where the heart of men lies. The heart of men is moving to great pleasure. And women in the church and even people in the church are also going to be caught up in this type of thing. They are going to enjoy the things of the world. People are going to believe. They are going to be into the music and the drinking and the grooving. Number two, he said that money is also going to be the order of the day. People are going to be interested in money, basically. He said they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Everything is going to be driven by money. That's why what we call globalization. If you don't have money, you don't matter. If you don't have money, you go and propose to a girl, he just look you up and down from your feet to your head. Look at you. Blipa, ain't tech one. You don't have money, that's it, why. If you don't have money, you'll not be rated. He said in Noah's time, what counted was how much you could buy and how much you could sell. That's where the value is going to be. People are going to be valued not by character, by how much money they have. There's going to be a high premium on it. So if you don't have money, you don't matter. Your voice does not count. Your voice doesn't go far. You don't have authority. You don't have any power. Money is going to be the order of the day. And people are going to do all kinds of things for money. The greed and the race for money is going to increase beyond measure. That was also another sign that was common to both periods. Noah's time and Lot's time. But there are two other signs which was peculiar. One was peculiar in Lot's time, and one was also peculiar in Noah's time. And I want us to look at one more scripture. Today I'll be preaching and teaching at the same time. Genesis chapter 19. I want us to look at Noah's time. I want to point out one more feature of Noah's time. That's one of the third thing. And the Bible says in Noah's time, it says that in Genesis chapter 19, verse 12, let's go to Lot's time first. Lot. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible says that, and Lot, it said, and there came two, verse 1 says, there came two angels to even at Sodom. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot seeing them rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So the Bible says the Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Two angels were coming. Lot saw them. He rose up to meet them. Let's skip to verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men who came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. The 17th says, and when Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And in verse 8, he said, I pray thee, brethren, do not so wickedly. The Bible says that when Lot brought these two men to his house, the Bible says that in the night, a lot of men gathered around his house. They were homosexuals. One thing that was peculiar in Lot's time was homosexuality. It was at a very high level those times. And when these two men entered the city, what I find amazing is that the Bible says all the men from every quarter, there were macho men there. There were slim men there. There were fat men there. There were broke men there. There were rich men there. All types, old men, even with walking sticks, they were coming. They were all homosexuals. They surrounded the whole house. And they called to Lot. And they said, bring out the two men that we may know them. They said, we want to sleep with the men. Bring them out. They said, we've heard that there are some two freshmen that have come to town. And we desire to have sex with them. So the Bible says that Lot went out. And when he went out, he made them an offer. Verse 8, let's read verse 8. He said that, behold, I have two daughters which have never known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. The Bible says that they were so wild that Lot gave them an offer. He said, I have two daughters. They have never slept with a man before. They are virgins. It will interest you to know that these two daughters were married women. But they also had married homosexuals. In the whole town, there was nobody who was not a homosexual. So even they are married, their husbands had never slept with them before. So Lot said that although my daughters are married, they are still virgins. And he said that I will bring them out to you and do you to them as is good in your eyes. But only unto these two men do nothing. For they four came they under the shadow of my roof. But the Bible says that these men will not listen. I want you to understand this. What I want you to understand that homosexuality is on the increase. And is moving very high. I've talked to people personally who have told me they are homosexuals. And I've talked to people who have told me they are lesbians. And it will interest you to know that I've also talked to people in the Church of God who have also told me that they are homosexuals and lesbians. Some time back, I went to a certain church and I was preaching. And I said that there are homosexuals and lesbians in this place. And at the end of the service, I said, if you are homosexual or lesbian, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Nobody raised his hand. And the Lord said to me, nobody raised his hand, so now I am going to bring them forward. And so I told them that the Lord said, nobody has raised his hand, so now he's going to bring you forward. And lo and behold, I had about 8 people right there in the midst, right there at the front. I hope the Lord will give me such an instruction tonight. Put your hands together for Jesus. I hope. I'm under strict instructions and I'm under orders. Amen. I cannot do good nor bad out of my own mind. So the Bible says that there's going to be an increase in homosexuality. A time is going to come when we will not be worried about our daughters, we'll be worried about our sons. It's coming slowly and gradually.
As for America and all those places, homosexuality is nothing. And Britain, funny, homosexuality is not any big deal. It's accepted. I was watching the Sevilla TV once, and somebody had been elected to be the mayor of Munich or something. And they said that this man, he was elected because of his boldness and his frankness. And I was wondering, what is this guy so bold and frank about? And they showed the guy, and he was going to give a speech, and they introduced him. When they introduced him, he took the microphone and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a homosexual." And everybody began to clap and to cheer. 2 weeks after, I heard that the man had won the election. He had become the mayor. They really believed him because he said he was a homosexual. And so he just went through like that. So it's a growing menace that is growing from Western Europe and is steadily coming into Africa and is spreading in Ghana. There are homosexuals in Ghana. There are homosexuals in the house of God. There are lesbian homosexuals right here as I speak tonight. There are people like that right here in this hall. But the Bible says that something, and the danger is, most of the time it is underground. But in Lot's time, it wasn't underground anymore. It became blatant and open. And when it becomes open and blatant, then it is a sign that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. In about 5 or 10 years' time, I want you to know that it will be open. We will have MPs who will be homosexuals. They will declare that they're homosexual, and they will have people who will support them. But the Bible says that don't be surprised, because as likewise and that in the same manner, it's just going to be like that before the Son of Man comes. So I believe that the time has come that we must even train our sons, because it will be a pity for your son to come home one day and say that I've decided to marry my friend Martin. You are here too, he's called Jojo. It will be a great tragedy. But there is a spirit that moves abroad that is bringing us to this conclusion. But all things aside, I'm more interested in the last sign. Amen. Number 4. Now, the last sign that happened in the days of Noah. I want to turn to Genesis chapter 6. But that one is so peculiar. And it was so peculiar in the days of Noah. And apart from the days of Noah, this particular thing has not been repeated under any period in history or amongst any group of people or amongst any culture ever before. But when it comes to homosexuality, it has been with us. But it has been underground, like I said. But when it comes out into the open, then it tells us that the time is nigh. But this last one, that one is so peculiar. It happened only in the days of Noah. And it was restricted only to that time. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all, which they chose." The Bible says that the time came that men began to multiply on the face of the earth. And the Bible says that the daughters of men, the sons of God, who are these sons of God? These are angels. If you read Job chapter 1, verse 6, where he talks about the angels, and the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came amongst them. These are angels. And the Bible says that these angels, they came down to earth. Amen. And the Bible says that they came and they married women, and they slept with them. And the Bible says that out of that, there was a race of giants. But out of the product of angels, fallen angels, and ordinary human beings, was great wickedness. Look at verse 5. It says that, "And God saw that every imagination of the thought of man was only evil continually." The Bible says that the evil and the imagination and the thoughts of men became so evil. When I said that when Osama bin Laden went to bomb, went to bomb the World Trade Center on the 7th, September 11th, yesterday I told you that about a month or so after that preaching, after that incident, one day I was praying in my bedroom. And as I was praying in my bedroom, I was awake, I was alive, right now like I'm alive. I saw that suddenly I was in America. I believe my spirit left me and it was in America. And I was walking on the streets of New York City. And as I was walking on the streets of New York City, I remember it was in the evening, probably around 6 o'clock. It was drizzling slightly. It was very quite cold. And I entered into a temple. And when I entered into this temple, I sat at the back of the temple. And I saw a woman standing at the altar of the temple, in front of the temple. There was nobody in the temple. I was alone. And there were pews, dark pews. And the whole place, there were candles all over on front of the altar. And the woman was chanting. And when the woman was chanting, there was a big mirror in front of the woman. And the mirror was the map of the world. And as the woman was chanting, an evil spirit came out of that mirror. And when it came, I looked like a beast. And then it passed by me and it went outside. I was very surprised. Then a second spirit also came out. Then it passed by me, then it went outside. Then a third spirit came out. The third one was a man. A handsome man. And I was struck by the man. About 5 or 6. Nice man. And he just came coolly and he passed by me. After that, a fourth one came out. That one also was a spirit. And then it passed by me and it went out. When these four things passed by me, I saw one of the spirits. It entered into a plane. And I saw the plane fly into the World Trade Center. And then the building just caught fire and started coming down. But what struck me the most was the man, the third spirit that came out. I was wondering why it was a man. Why it was not a beast. And it was more like God was drawing my attention more to the third one than to all the others. And I was asking God that, what is this man? Why is he here? Why is he so different from the rest? As I was asking God, God quoted this scripture to me, Luke 17, as it was in the days of Noah, where we read, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Then I asked God that, what was it in the days of Noah? And God said to me that, in the days of Noah, fallen angels were released onto the earth in human form. And God said to me that that man that you saw is a fallen angel that Satan has released onto the earth. And he's symbolic of fallen angels. Then I asked the Lord, why should Satan send a fallen angel into the midst of men? And the Lord said to me that there is a certain level of wickedness and a certain level of evil which a man cannot carry out. For example, as we are sitting here, we all have our levels of evil that we can carry out. Some of us, our highest level is lying. Some people, their highest level is stealing meat in soup. Some people, their highest level is fornication. Some people, their highest level is stealing. It's obviously, apart from stealing, they don't do anything again. Somebody's one is drinking. But at least there are bricks and there are barriers. Amen. So every man has limits. And there's a certain level of evil which a man is incapable of carrying out. The Bible says, Ephesians 6:12, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a certain level of wickedness, it is spiritual. And it is not earthly, it is in the heavenly realm. It is in high places. And God said to me, as the day is drawing near, Satan has released real human beings in the form of men. And he has released them into the earth for the last hour. Because, like I said, when these fallen angels came to town, the Bible says that the level of evil went up. Evil that has not been seen before. It came on the earth. And God said to me that there are certain things that are going to happen on this earth. You cannot believe it. Even September 11th, if that one was committed by an evil spirit. The thing that is coming next is far wilder than your imagination. You cannot imagine it. That somebody is capable of carrying out such atrocities and such wickedness. And God said to me, my son, I want to warn you and I want to warn the church that as it was in the days of Noah and Satan released fallen angels into the earth, now he has also released fallen angels and they are walking on the earth. But what I found peculiar is that these fallen angels in Noah's time, when they came, they were ordinary people. They had names. They had beloveds. They married. They rented houses. They paid advance. They moved around. They went to work from morning till evening, 6 o'clock, from 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Ordinary people, sometimes probably they even went to church. They sang a few hymns, they moved around. They took taxis. When they were in their engagement, they went to do knocking, they bought schnapps, they bought all those things, they were there. They had landlords, some even built beautiful houses, and they were living inside.
They were within us, but they were not from us. They walked in the midst of men. And you know what? They had children. And they had naming ceremonies. And they named the children. And they had baby dedications. And they all had all kinds of things. Christmas, they'll be there celebrating. They were ordinary people, ordinary human beings walking around. Today, I want you to know that fallen angels have infiltrated our midst. They have infiltrated society. And they have infiltrated our ranks. There could even be one sitting here tonight. Who knows? There was a lady who went to church once. And when she went to church, somebody asked her for a lift. It was a Tuesday service. So when they closed, she gave the lady a lift. And she asked the lady, "Where will you drop?" "The lift I'll drop to so and so and so and so." She said, "Okay, let's go." So they were going. So they were chatting. And as they were going, when they got to the place where the other lady was supposed to alight, she turned and she asked her, "Where did you say she would drop?" The lady had disappeared from the car. She was gone. Like smoke. I'm telling you a real story. A real, real story. That's why I said they even go to church. My brethren. So the Lord said to me, "My son, there is a great danger. Great danger. And it's going to take discernment from my people. And it's going to take alertness and vigilance in the word of God to keep the people of God because of the things that have come upon the earth." So as we are here tonight, my brethren, we are in very dangerous times. We are in a very critical period. And when the Lord said to me, when the Lord said that to me, when he showed me that vision, he said to me that the next terrorism that will come, it is beyond your imagination. Because some of these acts will not be committed by human beings. They will be committed by fallen angels in human flesh with supernatural power and supernatural insight. And they will move from the earth. Then I said, "Wow, what do we do?" This is lesson number one for today. What we have to do is that I'm reminded of the word of God in Luke 21:33. Maybe we should read from there. It says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. 34. It says, 34 says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares." 35 says, "For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth." And it continues to say, "Pray ye always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that must, not maybe perhaps, but must come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." My brethren, we are facing two threats. One is internal, one is external. The internal threat is that because of the spirit of money-mindedness and pleasure and homosexuality, that is a spirit. If you don't take care, you will be conformed to this world. The Bible says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So the warning here that Jesus gave about the last days, and this one was on the last days, and what to do, Jesus says that the spirit that is moving in the air
It's a spirit of covetousness and a spirit of pleasure and a spirit of homosexuality and whatever. But Jesus said that spirit, what it does, that it corrupts man from his inside, from his inner being. Amen. So he said, what you have to do to guard this internal corruption that can take place in your heart unknowingly is to watch your heart. He said, take heed to yourself. How? Lest at any time your heart, she's only saying my heart. My brethren, the first advice I will give you is to watch your heart so that you don't become corrupt yourself. He said, keep your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart are the issues of life. So what you let enter your heart, it will dictate the way your life will go. And the spirit that is moving abroad, we have to watch our hearts by not allowing any foolish thing to enter our hearts. Unclean music, unclean sounds, unclean conversation, unclean associations. For be not deceived, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, for evil communications corrupt good manners. It's a corruption. It eats you up gradually, but you don't know. Gradually. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 17, Paul said that, for their words will eat like a canker, like a cancer, their words. It enters into you and then it begins to burn. And it begins to break your faith. It begins to break your hope. It begins to break your understanding. And before you realize, your character is altering. And you are changing. So he said, let's wash our hearts. That's why it's important to come to the house of God and fill your heart with the word of God. To fill your heart with prayer. To fill your heart with meditation of the scriptures. And as you do that, you are keeping your heart. The second cure was that, I said the threat is external. When you have fallen angels walking in the midst of human beings, what do? Pray away. The only way you can stop an external threat is to pray. If you don't take care, fallen angel will marry your son. Or you will marry one yourself. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy. It didn't say what. Can 2002 so that you may be accounted worthy. The only thing that makes you worthy and qualifies you to escape is when you pray. It's not when you are a good man or when you have good intentions or when you sleep in the church or when you do business or when you are a rich person or when you sing hymns or when you move about. The Bible says the only one who qualifies to escape, the only ticket for escape, is the one who prays. He said, pray always that you, nobody is exempt. I am inside, you are inside. That you in particular may be accounted worthy to escape. When the plane hit the World Trade Center, there was a certain girl in our church in New York, in Manhattan. She was in that building. When the plane hit the first building, they didn't know the second one plane was coming. So she said that when they were in the second building, their boss said, oh, this is just keep on working, there's nothing. Then she heard the voice of the Spirit of God. He said, run. Run now. And she began to run. So she ran, she ran, she ran, she ran. When she got to the floor, no, the second plane had arrived. And I know the lady, very prayerful woman, very spiritual. The Bible says, pray always. You can be in an STC traveling from here to Kumasi, and the driver is a fallen angel. He's going to kill everybody on the road.
That's his mission. His mission is to kill everybody on the road. And you hear 23 people have died on the spot. And the driver is also dead. Probably his spirit has left his body, has gone to look for another body, and he's moving around town. So Jesus says that things look natural. When you hear them, they look natural. So these people, these fallen angels who went and married people and they brought a lot of evil, nobody knew that they were fallen angels. It's only through the word of God that we learn now in this age that they were fallen. But then, nobody thought that they were fallen. They thought that they were normal human beings. Otherwise, they would not have moved with them. But the word of God that came through Moses after many years came and told us that those people who lived in those times, many of them were fallen angels. They weren't proper human beings. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Put your hands together for Jesus. Because shall it be as it was in the days of Noah. So my brethren, we face ever-increasing threats, and we face ever-increasing dangers. So what we have to do is that we have to pray. The Bible says that the one who prays is the one who will escape the external threats that will be coming, so that you may be accounted worthy. As for the thing, they will come. But it is the escape that is important. As for the coming, dear my brethren, don't make any mistake. They are coming and they are here. But the question is, who is going to escape? Ask somebody, will you escape? Other person, have you been praying? That's the bottom line. He said, pray always. Pray in the morning. Pray in the afternoon. Psalmist said in Psalm 55, verse 17, evening and morning at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and you shall hear my voice. Pray always. Pray during Christmas. Pray Easter time. Pray in good times. Pray in bad times. So that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. Not maybe that will come to pass, or perhaps may come to pass, or we are not sure that they will come to pass, but will come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. The hour has come. And I'm, like I said, I'm preaching a prophetic. God has given me this message to give to you in particular. Because you need it. That is the first lesson for tonight. Lesson 2. Lesson about the book of Hebrews. We are sharing from lessons from Osama. As it was in the days of Noah. One of the things I like about the book of Hebrews is that Hebrews is an exciting book. It talks about the accuracy and the importance of obeying God's word. And it talks about why you must not trivialize the word of God. So if you study the book of Hebrews, you will realize that before Paul makes any statements in the book of Hebrews, he warns you about the fact that the word of God is so sure. So don't joke with it. And don't trifle with it. Because I want to catch the spirit of the writer of Hebrews, I also want to tell you that don't joke with what I'm just about to say from the book of Hebrews. Because that's how the whole book runs. It warns you that don't play with God's word. Then it tells you what is going to happen. Then it warns you again. Then it tells you. Then it warns you. Then it tells you. So before I even read, I'm just going to make one statement, and then we are closing. But before I make that statement, I want you to know that this statement that I'm going to make, don't play with it, because it's the word of God. And that is how the whole book of Hebrews is structured. So for example, in Hebrews 1:1, Paul says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Paul said that what I'm about to say, the source, you know,
The source of every information is very important.
Right.
If I come right now and say there is a coup, the source is not that strong. So you may be a little bit skeptical. But if the president comes right now and tells us that, look, there is a coup, so if we begin to run, we all will begin to run. We don't even have to hear gunfire. Because the source is very potent. So the book of Hebrews, it says that the source, the one who is saying, he said in times where God used to see prophets and all that, but now he has spoken unto us by his son. He said the source of these words is so great and so intimate with God, and it is God himself. So don't joke with it. Hebrews 2, and we'll see the same thing there. It said, therefore, we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You see, that warning comes again. And throughout the book, to Hebrews chapter 3, to Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into any of you should seem to come short of it. For the word which, verse 2 says, was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. So he also warns us. Hebrews chapter 5, there are warnings. Hebrews chapter 6, warnings. Hebrews chapter 7, warnings. 8, warnings. But finally, we come to Hebrews chapter 12. And this is where I want to read from. And before Paul makes this exciting statement, which is our lesson 2, he takes time to explain before he makes the statement. So I think I would like to read what he says about the word before I make the statement that he makes. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. He talks about the way God spoke in the olden days. So he said in verse 18, he said, for you have not come unto the mount that Babi touched, and that burned with fire, and blackness, and darkness, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words. Which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded, in it so much as a beast touched the mountain, it was stoned or thrust through with the dart. Thing one. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Paul said in the olden days, when God spoke, people respected the way what he said. Because in the olden days, when God spoke, you will see thunder and lightning and fire and earthquake. And if you touch the mountain that God was speaking from, you would die immediately. So people trembled at the word of God. And even when God spoke, Moses himself, an anointed prophet, said, I exceedingly fear and quake. He said, those days, if you heard God's voice, the way it was associated with power, you'll be afraid. But he said, now we are in the New Testament and things have changed. Verse 22. He said, for you, now we are in New Testament times now. And not, he said that you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. But he said that our case is different. We have not come to a mountain that when God speaks, everything is shaking. He said, we have come to an innumerable company of angels. Then he says, he continues, he says that, to the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn. So he says that these times, when God speaks, you don't see fire, you don't see anything. All that you see is Pastor Kakra holding a microphone. You see the church of the firstborn, the general assembly. You see the preachers holding microphones and speaking. There's no fire, there's no earthquake, there's no thunder. So it doesn't look that impressive. You see the choir. In their shirts, red, green, yellow, and blue, singing and making merry to the Lord. So it doesn't look like any big deal. It looks like even God is not speaking. It doesn't look so powerful. It doesn't look so impressive. It doesn't look anything. You see very nice people. You see nice children. Like this girl that I know in my house, the one who has been stealing Kelly Willie that they beat her the other day. It's not that the girl. These days, when God speaks, because he speaks in the midst of the church, he said that it doesn't look impressive. But in those days, before God will speak to you, he will catch you to a mountain. In the middle of the night, he will appear with great fire. And when he spoke, your heart will begin to melt.
If I say we're going to have a service at the seaside, people will say, wow, the prophet is powerful. Oh, seaside service.
The location.
But now he said that the location is very different. He said God speaks in the midst of the church. He said to the general assembly and to the church of the firstborn and to the spirit of just men made perfect and to God, the judge of all. Very easy. 24, he said, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So he says that these days when God speaks, everything is jolly, everything is nice, everybody looks fine, everybody looks well dressed, everybody smells nice, everybody smiles, everybody's happy, Pastor Go is nice, smiling, there's a nice microphone, there are lights, there's no thunder, we are not in darkness, we are not in the bush, nothing. So because of that, people tend to underestimate the word of God. So in verse 25, he gives them the warning now. He said that see, tell somebody see, that you refuse him not that speaketh. But if they escape not, who refuses him that spoke from heaven? How much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of the things that can be shaken, that is, of things that are made, that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. 28 says that, wherefore we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In 29, he said, I'm still reminding you that our God is still a consuming fire. He said, the presentation may have changed, but our God has not changed. If you see an armed robber with his hood, and with his hole, the holes that they cut in the socks or whatever, and they are moving with their guns, that's an arab in the night. But he can come to church in his tie and everything, he's smiling. His presentation has changed, but you are still dealing with an arm robber. He looks different. But the man is still an arm robber. So Paul said that God looks different now, but still he's a consuming fire. But I want to comment on the warning that he gave to them. And this is the warning. He said that they should see that they don't refuse the word of God. Now, then he goes on to tell them what he wants to say. And he says that what I want to say is that God has promised that he is going to shake everything in the heavens and in the earth. And he said God has promised that what he is going to shake is he's going to shake all man-made things. And when he shakes, all man-made things will be broken into pieces. The only thing that will stand will be God-made things. That is the warning. But before he gives that warning, like I said, he goes to great lengths to explain to them why they must not deal with this warning before he gives them the warning. Now, what I want to say is that the second lesson for tonight is that from what happened from Osama, God is fulfilling his promises. He said he's going to shake everything. We thought that America was a superpower, the greatest power on the earth, that nobody can shake. No, who would dare go to America to fight the Americans? Almighty, nobody would dare fight America. But God said, and has said in his word through Paul, he said now he has promised. That's what he promised. And when God promises, he keeps his promises. He said that he is going to shake everything on this earth. My brethren, I want you to know that countries and economies will be shaken. When God allowed Osama bin Laden to bomb that place, he was reminding us that he's still in the shaking business.
And if America has shaken, my brother, you there, you are a mosquito in the net. You are nothing. So with that sign, God sent us a prophetic word. And the message that he sent to us is that, remember that everything
will be shaken.
He said he has promised. Yet once more, I seek not the earth only, but also heaven. My brethren, Ghana in 1979, it was shaken by a military coup and killings and everything. The whole thing was destabilized. Sierra Leone has been shaken. God is in the shaking business. Then he moved to America and he shook the place. Then he moved to Congo and he shook the place. Everything that is man-made and is not God-made, when the shaking comes, it will break into pieces. This tells us that we must not put our hearts in physical things, but in God who raises the dead. Who raises the dead. If money is what you like, money was made by man, God is going to shake money. It is possible, ladies and gentlemen, for us to go and sleep tonight and we wake up in the morning and the dollar, CD is more valuable than the dollar. It's very possible. Something can happen overnight. Maybe a nuclear bomb or some kind of weapon or some kind of missiles. Boom. And if your whole soul is in money and you have changed all your CDs into dollars, have put them in a Milo thing, made a hole in your room and concocted it, today the dollar is maybe 7,000 and you may have $10,000 and maybe you may have about 700 million. You can wake up tomorrow and you are a pauper. Even the CD has gained more glory than your dollar that is buried in the concrete. You have to use it for charcoal and firewood. God has promised. He said, I have promised. Tell somebody he has promised. He said, I am going to shake every man made thing. Every man made thing. He said, I'm going to shake it. So when he shook that superpower, he was sending us a message. And the message is that he is keeping his promises. He is keeping his promises. If America can shake, then I don't know about you. Right now, as I'm speaking, Argentina is shaking. Their currency is failing. And they have restricted people. You can't draw your own money from the bank. Because if they allow people to draw, the whole economy will crash. Boom. Like that. Everyone will become a pauper. See this. Dollars. Pounds. They are man-made things. I wouldn't like to put my heart on something where God has promised he's coming to shake. I wouldn't gamble on such a thing. I won't gamble on this at all. At all. Because he has promised. Marriages will be shaken. The only marriages that will stand are those that have God made. When you are going to marry, you are so excited. Oh, my husband has... Oh, God is wearing his boxing gloves. And he's tying them and he's strapping them on. And he says that everything will be shaken. No matter how much you love a man, or you love your unbeliever boyfriend, or anything, God has promised that one day he will be at your house to shake your marriage. Oh, he'll shake it. Definitely, he's going to shake it. Recently, a political party was shaken. I pity everybody whose heart and soul is in politics. People have sold their souls to politics. It was like the only thing, the thing that has come. Some people even said the president will rule, his son will come and rule, his son's son will come and rule. People's hearts was in the thing. But every party was made by man. MPP, NDC, EGL party, domestication, whatever party, it was made by man. And God said, they have forgotten my promise. My brethren, tonight, I don't want you to forget, because it seems many have forgotten. That is why they behave the way they behave. Pastor Michael, many have forgotten. And on 7 January, God came and he just shook the party like this. The whole party shook. All 31st December nurses disappeared overnight. Suddenly, the huge crowds that come at rallies, I don't see them anymore. They have all disappeared. The party has been shaken by God. He said, get once more. He has promised. He has what?
Promise.
When God shook America, the Lord said to me, he said, my son, I want to remind you that no matter how great something may look like, it is still shaken. No matter how strong it looks, no matter how powerful it looks, it is still shaken. Recently, I was traveling to the U.S. not long ago. And when we boarded the plane began to fly. At a point, the engine sound of the plane changed. And when an engine sound changed, nobody would tell you that this engine, there's something wrong with it. It was doing some noise. And I looked at the screen. They said we're 33,000 feet above sea level. I said, wow, we are high in the sky. This is not a car that we park and repair. This one, we are in the air. It's not an easy thing. And as I sat in the plane, and the noise got worse, and everybody in the plane began to shift and began to move, and everybody was disturbed and everything. It was a very scary thing. And they said that because of that, we have to now go to Senegal. So we went to Senegal for 2 days. For 2 days, they were repairing the plane. It tells you how serious the problem was. 2 days. 2 days we were in the hotel, they were repairing the plane. So, as we were flying to the place, ladies and gentlemen, people were shaking. And I remember the words of God. And I said, probably Angel Michael is using his finger to tap our engine. From time to time, he taps it and the plane begins to shake. Because God was keeping his promises. Then, people began to fear. And people were asking me questions. They got to know I was a pastor. Suddenly, I had a church around me. Immediately, I had a church. And they were asking me, what's going to happen? Pastor, pray. And as I sat in the chair, I knew that I was not going to die. Suddenly, I knew it. And do you know why I knew it? I realized that I knew I was not going to die, not because I have children and I have a wife or I'm young. That was not my mind. I knew I was not going to die because I realized that God has given me assignment on this earth, which this my body is supposed to perform. Otherwise, I will not be here in Matakoyeko tonight preaching the word of God. It will not be possible. I will be dead. So my body has an assignment on this earth, which it has to carry out for the kingdom of God. That it has not finished. So I knew that because of that,
it was not possible for me to die.
That's why Paul said, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved.
The only thing that cannot be moved when the shaking comes is God's kingdom. Let us have grace whereby we may serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Assuming this is the kingdom of God, the Bible says that this is the only thing that cannot be shaken. So if you don't want your body to be shaken when an airplane is flying, make sure that this your body is serving God acceptably in His kingdom. And when the shaking comes, this whole area is always present.
Put your hands together for this. This area, dear, my brother, don't venture in this area. Never venture. But once you get here, you are unshakable.
Then it occurred to me, that's why Paul said, the only place that cannot be shaken, my brother, is the kingdom. So if you have money, and you use your money for only trophies, I hear they sell some nice watches here. What do they call it? Or you use your money for utility. Or use your money only to perm your hair. And your money to only to buy takeaway. Or your money to only pay rent. Your money is outside the kingdom.
When there is a shaking, you are one of the candidates.
But when you put your money, you are paying your tithes. You are giving your offering. You are doing your best and your money is here. When there is a shaking and the city is devaluing and people's businesses are collapsing and going up and down, your money and your business will stand because your body is in the kingdom. It will stand. It will stand. My brethren, that's the only place where we have security in this present time. I'm telling you something very spiritual. And what God is doing, I would rather work with God than work against Him. He that is not with me is against me. With God, there's no middle ground. You see, if you are not with Him, you are against Him. If you don't gather with me, you are scattering. There's nothing like you are in the middle. I'm not doing. No. There's no middle ground. What it means is that when you are going to get married, and you just marry because of money, or the way when they do Miss Ghana, they ask somebody, what is your ideal man? He's like, my ideal man is a man with hair on his chest. I said, man, this woman shall marry the goat. It has a lot of hair on his chest. That hair, when there is a shaking, it will burn like fire. It will burn like a goat. Make sure that if you are not married, when we hear the wedding bells, tim, 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 make sure it is a marriage that is heading for the kingdom. That's the only place that cannot be shaken. But if you just marry a woman, a tazi will hit the paper in the tower.
You work like this.
Only a tazi. Not a proper tazi to Pico.
It will shake. Definitely. It will shake.
If your body is not serving God in His kingdom, you stand a great risk.
Because God has promised. I am afraid of God's promises. Because when God made promise to Abraham, he kept it.
So if your body, is not serving God in his kingdom, but is serving Ghana Water and Sewage only.
He says yes once more. I seek not the heavens only, but also the earth. He said yes once more.
You are completely vulnerable. Completely. So if you are in this church, you don't serve God with your body, with reverence and godly fear in his kingdom. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
That's the only place. So when I hear George Bush and all those people talking, we're in terrorism, we are going to fight them, we are going to kill them, we will kill all our Qaeda people, we will extinguish them, they can run, but they're not right. Whether we bring justice to our enemies or in our enemies to justice, justice will be done. I say, hey, what about God? He has promised. He has what?
Promised.
So what happened to Almighty America? He was just reminding us of his promises. My brethren, if you are spiritual, you will know that we live in turbulent time. The only security is God. For the name of the Lord, it's a strong tower.
The righteous, he runs into it and he is saved. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror that walketh by night, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. It shall not come near you, only with your eyes. Once you are standing here, it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Put your hands together for Jesus. Take some of this lessons from Osama. My brethren, I don't know where your marriage is. I don't know where your money is. I don't know where your body is. I don't know where your children are. But I know only one place of safety that cannot be shaken. That thing is the kingdom of God. So tonight, I advise you that wherever you find yourself, I want you to make sure that your money, your body, your strength, your beloved, whatever is in the kingdom. Anything that stands outside the kingdom is vulnerable. Because God is working. That's why Paul went to great lengths to explain why you must not joke with the word of God before making just this one single statement. Just that, Pastor Ogo, can you imagine? He goes to great lengths to prepare your mind and my mind before he makes that one profound statement that God has promised. See! Tell somebody, see. That you refuse him not that speaketh. See that you do not refuse what I'm telling you today. For if they escape not, who refused him? I was talking about Moses. Who spoke on earth? How much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Then he gives us the warning. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now, today, now, he has promised. Yet once more, I seek not the earth only, but also heaven.
And this word, yet once more, this is the meaning, signify it, the removing. Who wants to be removed? I don't want to be removed. The removing of the things that can be shaken. That is of things that are man-made. So that the things we cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. May God help us. Let's have grace. That whatever we do, we stay in this kingdom. Because our God is still a consuming fire. He's still moving around, consuming, destroying, and shaking, and everything. I don't think personally that there's safety anywhere in the world. If you're in America, you're not safe. If you're in UK, you're not safe. Someone say Ghana is not safe. It doesn't matter where you are. All that matters is your position in Christ. No matter where you are, if God has promised. Pastor Michael, if God has promised that everything on this earth will be shaken, I pity the politicians. The way they talk and the way they give false hope to people. As I listened to CNN, I said, people are deceived. When God has promised he's going to shake, who are you, O man? Who replies against God? Today, I open your eyes with a prophetic word. And God is bringing you to a place of safety. A place of assurance. A place of peace. And a place of rest. So as we close tonight, remember today's two lessons. The first one I said, fallen angels have infiltrated our midst. We need to do two things. Let's make sure that we ourselves, we guard our hearts, that we don't change. And let's pray that we'll escape. The second lesson I said was that I said I was going to make one statement. And the statement is that God says he's going to shake everything. So that the things we cannot be shaken may remain. And the things that cannot be shaken are the things only that are in the kingdom of God. Anything else that lies outside the kingdom, whether it is in US or China or Russia, is in danger. So let's make sure that whatever we have, your body, serve God in this church. Serve your pastor in this church. Your money, make sure it serves God in tithes and offerings. Your marriage, make sure it's a marriage that serves God. Everything in his kingdom. So that no matter the shaking. Oh, once I was in my car with Pastor Raymond. That was about 3 weeks ago. And then we were going in a Land Cruiser. My Land Cruiser, and we're going about 120 kmph. Then the front tire exploded. Pow! When the front tire exploded, the car began to skip. But I have been on a scene before. And when the serious accident happened, it always starts by skidding. When the thing began to skid, there was another car coming from that direction. And our car was moving towards the other lane. Going off. Wow. And I said, Jesus, the most amazing thing happened. It was like somebody caught the car and just put it in the other lane. Boom, like that. It just stopped like that. I have never seen anything like that before. And the car just froze. Just, you see, it was lifted from here to boom, then it was just there. Stationary. Amazing. God was shaking the car. But when he realized that there were bodies that were serving God acceptably in his kingdom and with reverence and godly fear, he said, Jesus, I'm not shaking them. And the car was just there like that.
And then our souls escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. Recently I was reading the papers. I saw the same thing happen to a president bodyguard. They were traveling the same Toyota Land Cruiser that their front tire went off. Bah! Many people died. And I said, Lord, you shook my Land Cruiser. You also went to shake their Land Cruiser. I thank God I'm alive. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus, Son of God. Put your hands together for Jesus. I want you to stand on your feet. Today I've spoken to you a prophetic word. The mind of God and the heart of God. I have revealed it unto you tonight. I want you to walk by it. I want you to abide by it. I want you to follow it. Lift up your hand and let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for your people. I thank you, Father, for your prophetic words which you gave to me to share with the people of God. I thank you, Father, for revealing the secrets of your heart and the bearings of your heart to your people, to warn us and to keep us. I thank you, O God, for setting us on the right path, redirecting and realigning our ways and our thinking, for our God is still a consuming fire. I pray that this word will be in our hearts, O God. May it bear fruit. May it change our lives, O Father. May it draw us nearer and nearer your kingdom. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26767 6055. +233 26767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.